Kick the tires and light the fires. This is Aviator Cast, episode 15.
Calling all aviators, pilots, and aviation lovers. Welcome to Aviator Cast, where we close the gap between real aviation and flight simulation. Climb aboard, buckle up, and prepare for takeoff. Here's your host, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, 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 aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. I'm a sky reacher, ground defier, cloud puncher, throttle pusher, aviator. Yes, I love to fly. No matter how much I get, I just can't get enough. I'm the founder and owner of Angle of Attack, a flight simulation training company, which is bringing you this podcast today. Aviator Cast is a weekly podcast where we talk about the spirit of the aviator. We believe flying is an art form, one that we have to continually practice and master. This mastery is gained through a focus on continual learning, human factors, humility, and a commitment to excellence. Each episode of Aviator Cast will have real flight training and flight simulation topics, or an interview with an inspirational and influential aviator. Our desire and mission is not only to create awesome aviators, but also bridge the gap between real aviation and flight simulation. Show notes, transcript, community discussion, and links for this episode can be found by simply going to aviatorcast.com. So thank you for joining me on this episode of Aviator Cast, this being the 15th episode. It is my pleasure to welcome you to this show. And I hope you've been here before. If not, welcome. Appreciate having you here. I think you'll have a great time sharing in the passion for aviation, and if you will. So this is a great show. We have a lot of fun. I try to have a lot of fun and also bring you some great information. And that is truly what it's all about. And just to become safer aviators and be better at what we do and do more of what we love to do, which is flying. So before we get into this particular episode of Aviator Cast, I have a review for you. This comes from iTunes and all the way from Australia. This is the Australia episode because our interviewee is also from Australia. But this particular review from iTunes comes from Doizer. He said, "So glad I found this. 5 stars. Just started out thinking about flying lessons and recently started with a sim. This is a great addition to bringing sims and real flying together." So, Doizer, thanks for that review. Really appreciate it. And I would have to agree with you. We definitely believe in bringing sims and real flying together and utilizing a simulator to better your training. And, you know, I know a lot of you out there listening to this particular podcast may not be able to be pilots, or it's in your future and you're not yet pilots, or you had the opportunity, but that's kind of passed in your life. You know, there is no shame in that. There's so much to be said for this flight simulation hobby that we have. If you want to even call it a hobby, I'd more call it an obsession. So, you know, big props to you, Doizer, for using a simulator, starting out with your training as well. And I'm excited that you're here. Now, we have a great episode lined out for you today. We have another hangar talk episode, if you will. And this one I'm really excited about because it's something that we actually haven't done before. So on this episode, we have a developer that is quite popular in the flight simulator world. So this is a gentleman who has really made an impact the last 6 or 8 years here, and has just completely changed the landscape, literally, with flight simulation. This gentleman's name is John Venema. He is from a company called Orbix. You may also know Orbix from their line of terrain products for flight simulator called Full Terrain Experience, or FTX. And this company does an absolute stellar job. If you are a real pilot and you've gone through some training before in a Level D simulator, you will have seen some environments that are believable, maybe. But what this company does, and what I want to explain before we get into this hangar talk with John, is that Orbix essentially creates the most realistic environment possible that you can imagine. And they do so by hand placing every tree. They draw every shoreline. They put information into the simulator where all the roads are correct. They have realistically modeled mountains. So these guys have kind of a range of products. Not all of their products are created equal in the realism sense, but every single thing this company does is just top notch, and you can count on these guys to make realistic scenery. So what does that mean for both parties? What does that mean for flight simmers, and what does that mean for pilots, people that are using a simulator to augment their training? What that does is, starting out with a flight simmer, there's no better place to get scenery for your simulator than with Orbix. Hands down, I feel confident in making that statement. These guys make absolutely fantastic terrain that is just unmatched. I mean, they make certain areas, and if you live in one of these areas, say that you load up at a local airport, you can literally get out the VFR map. This is just crazy. You can literally get out the VFR map. You can follow all the terrain features that are on that map. Say that there's a cabin on the map. You can spot that cabin on the scenery. Say that there's a tower. You can spot that tower. Say that there's a certain feature, the way the shoreline is, or the riverbed. All of these things incredibly well matched in this scenery, and something that you do not get from your flight school's simulator. I would be confident in saying that most flight schools do not realistically depict their simulations as far as the software that goes behind it. And you'll see exactly what I mean as you follow this episode. So, you know, that kind of dovetails into flight training and what this means for pilots. Obviously, for a flight simmer, it's the best scenery. You should get it. That's pretty simple. For a pilot, what that means is that you are immersed in the realistic environment. You are in a place that looks like that actual place you are flying. If you didn't have something like this on the flip side, then you are operating in an environment that does not depict the charts that you are using. It does not depict the instrument charts. It doesn't depict the VFR charts. Very unrealistic as a base simulator. You know, FSX and X-Plane are very unreal. Well, X-Plane's a little better, but FSX at its default. So, you know, you go to the store, you buy it, it's not realistic at all. And you'll see that, you know, you'll load it up and you'll load it up at your local airport there where you are. And you'll find that the terrain features do not match. Yes, you realize that there are mountains to the east. They don't look anything like the mountains that you know in your area. So, you know, in the sense, the default is terrible. Now, add a package like Orbix, completely different story. You can literally pick out all the features in the area, assuming you know the area, and fly to your house or fly to any destination just because you know that area. And you can follow specific roads that you know. You know, you'll know the name of those roads because the scenery is just so realistically depicted. So what I'm saying is that there is a level of immersion here with scenery like Orbix produces. And this is just something you can't get anywhere else. It is absolutely stunning and absolutely beautiful. And these guys have really taken it upon themselves as part of their mission as a company to cover the entire globe with this immersive and beautiful scenery that makes you forget that it is not the real thing. So this is a great interview with John Venema. Just wanted to give you a little context there before we started. I know it's a little long-winded, but that'll give you a sense of why this matters and why this scenery is so important for people that use a flight simulator as a hobby. You know, they are pretty much already familiar with this company. It's something in these circles where they just know that these guys are top notch. For you pilots out there, this is going to be a bit of a different episode because we don't talk about human factors or safety or procedures or really anything like that. So if you listen to this episode, and I encourage you to do so, listen to it with the intent of increasing the realism of your simulator so that when you do go and you fly in your simulator, you have the most realistic environment possible. So you are replicating to a greater extent what your flights will actually be like. So I hope that makes sense. I hope you guys enjoy this interview with John. I know I did. It is very enlightening, and he has a lot of great thoughts about the future of flight simulation as well. And from this guy, we can take that nearly as gospel. So here is John Venema.
Now, a special Hangar Talk segment.
All right, everybody, we are honored to have one of the prime FS developers with us today, John Venema. How are you doing, John?
I'm really well today, Chris. How are you?
You know, doing pretty good. It's been a crazy day, but, you know, I've been really looking forward to this interview with you, and I'm excited about the things we're going to talk about because, you know, we've been focusing on the show heavily on flight training specifically, and I know that our flight sim enthusiasts are looking forward to hearing from a developer, and you're our first developer on this show, so we're excited to have you here. So where are you currently located? Where are you coming to us from?
Right now, I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
Great.
I've lived in Australia on and off for 40-something years, but I'm in the process of moving to the United Kingdom to live there permanently from next month.
Great. And you have a team of people there too, right?
No. Oh, no. We help set up a company called Sim720 to outsource the production of regions.
Gotcha.
Primarily for Europe.
Gotcha.
So they're not affiliated with Orbix at all. I was instrumental with some of the guys that own and run that company in setting them up and getting them trained up. And we had differences of philosophy about a year and a half into the partnership, and they went their own way. You know, we're still amicable. We still talk. I still pay their invoices. So, you know, it's all good. You know, one of the things that I'm quite proud of as Orbix is that we have launched quite a few careers of people, you know, people come and go within our team, but we're seeing lots of little companies pop up that have had publishing experience with Orbix and have learned their craft. And you'll continue to see more of that. I don't hold claim to anybody staying within the Orbix family forever. People are free to do what they want. So, but I'm quite chuffed that there's more and more little developers popping up everywhere that have come from the Orbix family, which is great.
Right. Yeah. You know, one of those that has kind of joined your fraternity, if you will, is Bill Womack. He was a guy that, you know, I knew back when he was kind of his own developer, and now I know he's doing a lot of work for you guys.
Well, no, actually, Bill, case in point, Bill is someone who was self-publishing, joined our team, released some really quality releases. Twin Oaks as being just a seminal airfield that is much loved by many people, released a few more fantastic airports. And then he decided that, you know, again, whether it was philosophical or directional or vision, he's now publishing for himself again with his Eye Blue Yonder.
Yeah.
He's got some terrific stuff coming up for the East Coast. And I believe he's doing some stuff for Oregon as well. So, you know, I wish him all the best. Bill and I talk on a regular basis. Again, just another example of where talent comes and goes.
Natural ebb and flow of the industry. Nothing wrong with that.
That's it.
So, you know, one of the first questions I ask people that are on our show is how you fell in love with aviation. And, you know, I'm not sure what your actual aviation background is, if you are a pilot yourself, but, you know, to some extent or another, there is a love for aviation there somewhere. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a lot of the backstory of Orbix can be found on our website, fullterrain.com. Mm-hmm. If you click on the Orbix logo, there's a bit of backstory about how I started off and why I started off, stuff like that. But happy to share it with all of our listeners. Essentially, my father and my siblings were all aviation nuts. I mean, Dad used to take us to Melbourne International Airport back in the days when there was an observation deck. Mm-hmm. And that would be an outing. We weren't a wealthy family at all. So, you know, he would be able to occupy his young sons for a whole afternoon by simply driving to the airport. Parking was free in those days.
Right.
We'd be on the observation deck and we just watch aircraft come and go. And that was, for us, that was amazing, you know. So
yeah, no kidding.
We plane spotters from a very early age. Dad was a minister, and he was involved in the Missionary Aviation Fellowship, which is they flew Cessnas and things into Papua New Guinea from Lilydale Airport or Coldstream in Victoria. So he was involved in that. He went up with them, and he's always been an aviation nut. Now, and that sort of influenced three of his sons, who all became pilots, two of who became instructors. With various type ratings. So I have three brothers that are fully qualified pilots. One of them still flies almost every weekend, and he takes me up in ultralight aircraft. So he's very passionate about it. He combines his job with flying, so he gets to do it all the time, which is great. It runs in the family. Myself, I've never done my PPL. It was something I wanted to do, but you know, I never really pursued it because sort of flight simulation took over.
Right, yeah.
Diverted me from, you know, fulfilling that dream. So I do rent a 172 every now and again where I'll be living in the UK. We're not far from an airport where I can just rent. And the instructor basically lets me fly it, and he just lands the thing at the end of 45 minutes. So I do go up now and again, but it's something that I've never finished. Maybe one day when I retire.
yeah, for sure. And, you know, that's actually something that happens throughout the flight simulation community. There, people just kind of follow different career paths. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean they're not passionate about aviation, but it's just kind of what happens, and flight simulation is that thing that they focus on. So it's a pretty common thread.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've probably flown several million miles on commercial aircraft.
Right.
Because I've had an IT career of some 27 years, and I've visited 50 plus countries. You know, at one stage I was going Melbourne, Australia to Boston every month.
Oh, wow.
And you soon rack up the air miles, and you soon get an appreciation of, and I'm a window seat fanatic, right? I always book a window seat. So you soon get an appreciation of what terrain looks like from the air at various altitudes, how lighting should look, you know, all these things when you're literally looking out windows for millions of miles, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I still love flying. Now I never cease to get excited when I go to an airport and smell the kerosene and gas and I still love flying on different – I mean, for example, only just a month and a half ago was my first ever flight on an A380. So,
oh, wow.
And I was mega excited about that because
been
flying for a bunch of time, but I've never had a chance to be on one. So, you know, I still get a buzz from it even today.
Right. Great. Well, it's good to hear your backstory on that. That's really neat. And, you know, you mentioned a couple things there that will play well into – I guess even your career, you know, like you said, you've been in the air looking at that that ground environment for a really long time. So why don't we get into what you do? And, you know, we're not going to assume that everyone listening to this podcast knows what you do and who you are, regardless of how great of an impact you've had on the flight simulation community, and not only the flight simulation community, but flight simulation as a whole, talking about outside you know, just the enthusiast market and looking into the actual flight training market. So you are from a company called Orbix, and your main URL is fullterrain.com. While we're in this conversation, I encourage everyone to go there and just kind of browse around while we're talking about this if you're not listening to this during your commute or something. So essentially, you know, tell us why Orbix. First of all, what you do and, you know, what you do, you're not necessarily the only person that does that. So what separates Orbix from the other people out there creating what you create? And the reason I open that opportunity up to you is because I truly believe that you guys are the best at what you do. And we really believe in your products, and we use them whenever we can in our training and in our media. So I'd love to hear your take on what Orbix is and why Orbix is the best.
Okay. Well, I incorporated the company in 2006 and really did nothing with it for nearly 12 months. It was just I had a bunch of ideas in my head. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was working on a massive freeware project called Vista Australis, or VOS, we call it.
Right.
And VOS came about because I was using the flight simulator for my PBL, and what I saw in the sim was rubbish. You know, it was just a joke. I think Microsoft primarily focused on Washington State and a few points of interest, and other than that, the rest of the world was neglected. So that really got me started on, you know, creating textures and creating environments and getting a feel for what it was to develop, because prior to that, I had zero development experience. Mm-hmm. What I did have was a marketing background and a graphic design background. Creating my own presentations that I would get up in front of CEOs and CIOs and audiences of 5,000 people and do these multimedia presentations required me to really understand graphic design and Photoshop and multimedia. So those sort of things came in handy. So once VOS sort of was out there and it became probably the most downloaded freeware on the net for a while, I think we'd had 500,000 downloads by the time someone said to me, you should charge for this, John. You can charge, a dollar for every download. I said, yeah, I know.
So, yeah, no kidding.
So that's what really got me thinking. I registered the company name, and Orbix stands for basically Orb the World X 10 times the detail, because what had happened is that Microsoft and Aces announced Flight Simulator X, mm-hmm. and I buried myself into the specs of it and the SDK and realized quickly we could have 10 times the texture definition from Flight Sim 9. So I thought, what if we can do the whole world at 10 times the texture definition of Flight Sim 9? That would be something, wouldn't it? That would be really something. Right. And to me, that was always a long, long-term goal. I knew that possibly we'd get there, but it would take a bunch of stuff. It would take getting the right people around me, getting the right amount of investors and the right amount of cash, executing flawlessly, using all my marketing and design skills, and a lot of ducks had to really line themselves up.
Yeah, definitely.
But when we launched the website, this is the mission statement. I'm reading off the website right because that mission statement has not changed one word in 7 years. So let me read it to you. FTX, which basically stands for Full Terrain Experience, is an exciting new way to enjoy flight simulation on your PC. See the world the way it was meant to be seen, like a living, breathing, vibrant place you can almost reach out and touch from your cockpit. So that's what people see when they get on our website and they go, wow. I mean, they must think, wow, what are these guys doing? You know, they want you to really get immersed in what they're creating. So, you know, when we set out, it was all about just terrain and textures. I took some of the guys from the VOS project I met Holger Sandman and Bill Womack and Alan Creisman and a whole bunch of really cool guys at the Microsoft Developer Conference in Seattle in 2007. And slowly these guys came on board because I was able to sort of share the excitement and my vision about what I wanted to achieve. So, so the team grew. More and more people came on board. We executed quite well with releasing the Australian regions, massive amount of hype and publicity around that, a great sales spike initially, and then for a while things were touch and go with the company. Yeah, we weren't able to pay our bills, we weren't able to pay our staff, we weren't able to pay anything really. I had to go and sell shares in the company to raise capital, you know what they call hurt money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would own the majority of the company if it wasn't for the fact that I needed money in the early days to expand, because I knew that we wanted to expand to airports and different cool technologies. Mm-hmm. So we had some lean years and we had some good years, and we then branched out into creating new content, which was airports. And then more and more people joined. So what, from me working in hellacious hours and having a sofa in the office to us closing the office down because we couldn't pay the rent, to everybody working from home, for us creating a lot of infrastructure in the background, which is a whole bunch of server capacity, forums, communicating on via the internet, to me sort of pulling back from doing work and just becoming more of a businessman and running the team. Uh-huh. And essentially that's what I do now from day to day. I don't do any development work whatsoever.
Wow.
I don't miss the development work. It may come as a surprise for people to hear that, but I really don't miss planting 2 million trees, placing 500,000 houses. And as much as it was so much fun listening to, you know, heavy metal on my headphones and click, 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 I just don't have the time to do that now. My focus right. is making sure that I've got a team that runs effectively, that bills are getting paid, that my investors are happy, that we are expanding to new markets, new regions, new opportunities. So I'm really just more of a businessman. And I think our customers know that I'm a businessman, that I don't talk passionately about I had such a buzz making that airport or I'm really enjoying development. They
right.
all my guys who develop share all that. And they share the enthusiasm and the passion for what they create. And they can freely share and talk about it. You know, we've got a young guy called Misha Kajic who was interviewed by a European blog only last week or the week before, and his passion shows through. And, you know, I'm happy for any of my guys to go out and talk about what they're passionate about. So,
yeah, definitely.
So that's where I'm at. I'm running a team that's now got 60 people worldwide, 20 different countries. We don't have an office. We don't have a fancy presence on a high street. We just selling only one online store, and you know we've gone from strength to strength after having some very shaky years. And our customers are the reason why we're still around, because they're enthusiastic and they're passionate and they're loyal. And we reward loyalty by giving them lots of freeware. We don't charge for upgrades or patches or service packs. You know, basically, we're all about making sure we provide amazing content at minimal disruption to the buying process. You know.
Right. And I was just going to say, you know, you're not going to have those types of loyal customers if the product isn't there as well. And because there are other options out there in the community, I'm not saying that they're worthwhile options. I'm just saying that, you know, there could be a distracted effort for someone to buy something else. But your quality of product just stands out from everything else. And that's big too, and it really hasn't suffered over the years from what I've noticed. It just seems to get better, and it seems like the process is accelerating too. We're getting more areas faster.
Yes and no. I mean, Northern California, which we released a month or so back, had a 2-year gestation. Mm-hmm. There's many reasons for that, but I did try to introduce efficiencies into the business by outsourcing region production.
Right.
And it didn't work. It didn't work because we couldn't maintain the quality and the passion in the product mm-hmm. by going to an outsourced team. So we went back to our roots, and we've actually, you know, if anything, the team's become slightly smaller, because I just want the team to focus on what we've always been good at, which is putting passion and love and creating stuff that people really can see, you know, craftsmanship going into it. And that's why Northern California, I mean, it's just selling so wonderfully well, which is so pleased with it. But people are saying, we can really see this is crafted. Mm-hmm. We can see the love that's going into it. And it has, because that team are just an exemplary bunch of guys that just, we refused to let it go until it was to the level they wanted to. But, you know, our stuff is getting better because I keep pushing the guys to do better.
Right, exactly.
You know, to introduce all these flow technologies, which is just marketing words, really. They're, you know, people make fun of, you know, cash flow and revenue stuff like that. But, you know, if you don't innovate and if you don't market around the innovation, people aren't going to perceive that you're moving forward. And we are moving forward. And our airports today are full of life. They're full of life. You park your Cessna and you can see people walking around. You can hear a radio playing. You can hear drilling and noise in the hangar. There's trees are swaying in the wind. The butterflies are flying. Dogs are walking around. I mean, you know, it's like that mission statement I read a few minutes ago, that we're now there.
Definitely. Exactly. I totally agree.
We're going to be talking about probably more than likely you're going to be asking me about Prepare 3D version 2 and stuff like that.
Right.
We're about to take another quantum leap again with that platform. So, you know, that vision is only going to get stronger and stronger and stronger as we start to leverage the stuff that's coming out. So it's a really exciting place to be, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, every time one of these new areas comes out, it seems like for me, just speaking to my own experience, kind of actually from a customer perspective even, and maybe even a little bit in between because what I do professionally, I suppose, is so directly connected to the kind of quality product you put out. So, you know, what I look at is when Orbix releases a new area of scenery, then that is an area in which I can suddenly fly in, you know, an area where I actually do want to go and I want to spend time flying in the small airports around there. I want to spend time tweaking everything just right. And so the flights are ultra realistic and everything looks just right. And I don't necessarily do that until that area is available. And one perfect example is Southern Alaska. You know, that's where I live. And to not have an area like that modeled correctly, just as, you know, you felt, as you said before, about Australia, and I'm sure how everyone feels about the Pacific Northwest, really any area where you have a scenery. I didn't fly in Flight Simulator in that area until your scenery came out. So, you know, that's the type of, I guess, intangible loyalty that I have to your product that isn't necessarily dollars, right? But it's an area where that's essentially the only place I'm going to fly and the only place I want to fly. So I guess I just identify that in myself and wonder how many more people out there are like that. And from what I've seen and observed that, you know, that's actually the case with a lot of people in the community.
Yeah, there's a lot of customers that that profess to only fly in our regions. Mm-hmm. They refuse to fly in outside the Orbix world. We sort of cater to that a little bit with FTX Global in that, you know, it's a way of enjoying the Orbix sort of texture quality for the whole globe. But, you know, FTX Global is a very long-term strategy for a product line, and it's not designed to substitute for regions at all. But, yeah, right. A lot of people just love our regions and won't fly out of them because they can see the craftsmanship that's gone into it, and they can recognize and fly by chart and go to the, you know, land at their local, or they enjoy the enhanced high definition airports. And you can do, I mean, the Pacific Northwest is a great example where you can literally spend a whole day, or even more than a whole day. Just let's say you start at Orcas Island, you can just hop your way down the coast and never land at anything other than an Orbix payload quality airport.
Right.
Where there's people walking around, there's stuff happening at every place you land. So the sense of immersion you could get just by investing in Pacific Northwest and what do we got for that? A dozen airports. Mm-hmm. That could be your simulator. For many people, it is their simulator. You know?
Definitely.
And then they might say, well, I want to go further south. So they'll invest in Northern California, which means they can then go from Stark's Twin Oaks down to Redding, you know, mm-hmm. in one flight and never leave the Orbix world and never leave Orbix payware. And we've got like a dozen airports planned for Northern California.
Yeah, so, there are a lot there.
The simulator could extend from, you know, from Vancouver down to, you know, Sacramento sort of thing, and the Bay Area, and they would never leave this really rich environment. So our goal in the long term is to do that for the entire planet, but it's going to take decades to do that. So in the meantime, FTX Global is the stopgap measure that goes a long way to do that.
Yeah, so let's talk about FX, or rather Global. Let's talk about that a little more because, you know, I know that you're mentioning here and alluding to the fact that you're covering areas outside of the region. So you're not necessarily meaning to replace the regions. That's not the point of all this, and it's not the same product either. Now, I want to differentiate a little bit just in my own words, and correct me if I'm wrong. So Orbix or Full Terrain does several things. They create airports, which kind of live within the scenery, so that's kind of the micro level. And then they have the regions, which is a specific geographic region. So you have regions like Southern Alaska. You've mentioned Northern California. We have the Pacific Northwest, which includes Oregon, Washington, and part of British Columbia. And you also have some different ones like Northern Rocky Mountains. So there's these different regions too, and these are the high quality region. Literally get out a VFR map and you can follow landmarks and towers and roads and the towns look the same. I mean, it's incredible how much detail there is. And then there's this newer product that you have just recently, which is global. So explain that to me a little more, because although I do understand it in theory, one thing that I'd like clarified for not only myself but for the listeners is how Vector plays into that. And then you also have the OpenGL. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but the third component to that. So can you tell us more about Global?
Yeah, well, Global, you've explained the airports sitting on top of regions quite well, and we're going at the pace that we want to go with those. Mm-hmm. We've slowed down production a little bit because we're focusing back on quality, and the Northern California team are now working on Norway, the whole country.
Wow.
So, which has really been described as the Pacific Northwest of Europe, really. I mean, Great. It's going to, can you imagine going from all those fjords and mm-hmm. inlets and following the Oslo-Bergen Railway over the mountains, and it's just going to go, it's going to be beautiful.
I'm really excited about that, yeah.
Yeah. And we're creating some dedicated airport content for Norway at the moment, which are going to blow people away. There's a whole bunch of innovation going into one airport in particular at Narvik, which is just stunning, stunning. The whole town, including the sloped runway and the airport, is one model.
Oh, wow.
Including every single house and the way that Torstrand has approached that. It's just it's building on the sort of stuff that we've done earlier to the next level again. So it's fantastic.
Great.
So FTX Global really is, what if I don't want to get that sticker shock from leaving Pacific Northwest and flying east and seeing default textures? you know, it's like that horrible feeling, sinking feeling as you're flying east and suddenly you're seeing default Microsoft textures appearing into her eyes, and you go, no, and you turn around.
Yeah.
So what really Global is about is that, look, we're going to give you a baseline upgrade for the whole world. And this is a global base is simply just install and forget, right? Bang. If you want to back up the textures you're using now, let's say whether it be Gex or something else, we give you that option. But really it's not designed to be a swap-in, swap-out product. It's like install and forget, right? Suddenly everything around the whole world has got this Orbix feel to it. Now, it may not necessarily be correct. We may not have the exact jungle texture that's appropriate for the Amazon, or mm-hmm. or the southwest of the USA may not be the quite right tone of red desert or stuff like that. But
right.
It's 85% good enough.
Yeah, it's way better. You know, because you mentioned a jungle, right? If you're just going to have default FSX, you're probably going to have a desert where that jungle is supposed to be.
Yeah, correct. So, you know, what Global doesn't do is upgrade the land class or the roads and the rivers and railways and the vector data. So, so Global is part of a threefold family of products. So you've got Global, and then you've got Global Vector, which we've developed in conjunction with Pilots, who are a well-renowned, long-established Austrian company. Who I met with last year in the UK, and we said we should do something together. So, yeah, we are. And what Vector does, it uses various data sources, including OpenStreetMaps and a whole bunch of stuff that we're able to use. And it's now, we're about to release its third iteration, 1.15. So what that does, it just upgrades all the coastlines, the rivers, the railways, the roads, road networks. It also works with the FTX Global lighting, so that because we increase all the detail in cities, you get these beautiful lightscapes.
Gotcha.
We've got airport elevation corrections technology in there, which is in 1.15, which is being released almost imminently. We'll automatically go to every single airport in the flight sim database and automatically correct any elevation issues. Oh, so wow. At the moment, we had this little control panel where you can manually do it. That's being completely automated now. So Vector is this, it's almost like a subscription. You pay your $70 or whatever it is, $69. And what you're getting is you've subscribed to a continual program of improvement for X number of years of where the product is continually getting better. So we showed a green screenshot from Little Rock, Arkansas, which the difference is staggering of how many new water bodies we've got now around that and the river systems just by changing a data source from OSM to another data source.
Right.
So that's what Vector is all about. This is continually evolving, improving data set that just puts everything and makes all the coastlines much more accurate as opposed to default. And then the final part of the global family is what we call OpenLC. And OpenLC stands for Open Land Class. And again, we're using open licensed data sources to create 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer resolution land class for the whole world. And we're doing it one chunk at a time. So at the moment in testing is we've got OpenLC Europe, and we've started showing screenshots of, you know, Denmark, Sweden, Scandinavia, basically Finland. We're just about to start testing, you know, Spain and France and Germany and stuff like that. So, and that just takes basically adds a whole bunch of new textures that are indigenous to the area.
Great.
So OpenLC Europe is going to introduce a whole bunch of new stuff. For, you know, like the Mediterranean is going to have like olive groves and vineyards and rocky landscapes and drier sort of dusty stuff that you see in Spain and Morocco and places like that. And then France, you're going to see sort of different type of landscapes and different type of crop structures. Then in Eastern Europe, you're going to see the crops take on a different form and different orientation. So it's going to look really quite almost like a region, but the difference is that with those three layers for all of Europe, for example, you're sort of like getting a European region, but you're not going to go to the X level of where all the airports are upgraded.
Right.
With 3D grass and people walking around. You're not going to get all the wind farms placed. You're not going to get lighthouses positioned. You're not going to get all the marinas at every port, and you're not going to get dedicated 3D point of interest models and cityscapes and stuff and photoreal mountain areas. Like that is what those the difference between regions and global is. That regions is just they're handcrafted, lovingly focused regional areas that just put in as much as we can to make it a completely self-contained experience, whereas global goes sort of 80-75% of the way there, but it does it for much, much larger areas. So they're made to work hand in hand. There's no reason why you wouldn't buy FTX Norway as a region and have it sit on top of FTX Global, Vector, and OpenLC Europe, because the Norway region will be so much more detailed.
Right, exactly.
Than OpenLC Norway, for example.
Great. That, yeah.
So I hope that sort of explains things a little bit, you know.
It really does. That helps a whole lot. I do like the tie-in you had with the regions too, to teach everyone and to teach me, you know, how the step up happens from there. Cause you know, you talk about all these different great things that you're adding with global, with the, you know, the trifecta there with the global base Vector and then OpenLC. And then, you know, the common question would be for people, well, why would I even buy a region? But, you know, you just clarified that, and that is adding all of those different immersive details that that really just take it beyond what we thought was possible just a few years ago, I suppose.
Well, I mean, Norway is a great example. You know, the question is going to be asked, why would I buy FTX Norway? Well, for example, Holger is processing 900,000 water bodies alone.
Mm.
Just for Norway, we will likely do a cityscape Oslo, right?
Oh, wow.
So it's a real city. It's not a large city, so we're looking into doing stuff like that. There'll be photoreal glaciers, yeah, where there are glaciers. There'll be very accurate representation of seasonal changes from snow lines that Holger is so good at. There'll be frozen lake bodies. There'll be every wind farm, every lighthouse, every vertical obstruction, every tower. Everything that you're used to will be in that region. And then finally, every single airport in Norway is going to get upgraded to, you know, the Orbix region upgrade. But in, we're going one step further this time, in that we're getting one of the guys to create bespoke custom models for Norwegian upgraded airports, so they look like Norwegian airports, because you can't simply put a T-hanger from PNW and whack it in Norway. That's a Norwegian airport. No. So yeah, what we're doing is making unique-looking terminals and buildings that are Norwegian. So really, when someone, you know, and we will be sure to show comparison shots between this is global Vector OpenLC combo versus this FTX Norway, and people say, well, it's night and day difference, isn't it? You know, or, you know, I'll invest in that.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, that sounds really exciting. Really, really exciting. And thanks for the clarification there. So just unload on us with P3D or prepared 3D or prepared. You know, I'm not sure exactly what to call it. What do you guys call it?
P3D.
Okay, P3D. So unload on us with P3D. Tell us why it's good or bad, or what the platform means for the future, what you guys are planning with it. You know, how is Orbix using P3D, and what's the prospect looking like there?
Well, P3D is the future for us. And there's a simple reason. It's the only code line that we want to write to. And I'll nip the X-Plane question in the bud now. We have no interest in porting or coding for X-Plane.
Okay, thank you.
Because we simply are not resourced enough as a company to do so, and the customer base of X-Plane is too small to justify the cost.
So, understandable.
I know there are many other vendors that do create content for X-Plane. I'd be interested to know how much money they make from it. Because at the end of the day, Orbix is a business, and we meet things that are, that make sense financially.
Yeah, you know, that's what I tell everybody. It's like, you know, why aren't we all coming over to X-Plane? And X-Plane has its advantages. It has some, you know, some good stuff as far as the aerodynamics are concerned, and there's some promising things to X-Plane. The problem is that X-Plane is not where the money is, and a lot of the times that's not, you know, people don't understand that. And at the end of the day, you or any developer isn't going to put their blood, sweat, and tears, let alone their financial success or lack thereof, into a platform that doesn't have the dollars behind it. So that's totally understandable.
Yeah. So enough said on that. Yeah, I don't want to disparage X-Plane. I think what Austin's done is remarkable for effectively what is a 1+2-man operation. I think he's had enormous success with it. I think he's made a lot of money out of iOS apps, from what I hear. And I think it looks beautiful. I think it's a beautiful-looking simulator. So, you know, he's got some nice engine people working for him, and the lighting system's good. So, but, the, you know, here's the key. Prepare 3D version 2.2 has well and truly caught up. If you know, there's a lot of people been saying FSX and P3D1 are just starting to look old. They're not using any of the latest technology. There's no, well, I can tell you now that 2.2, which Lockheed are releasing this week, pretty much knocks every bug that's been plaguing us on the head. It completely fixes out-of-memory errors. It reduces virtual address space consumption by at least 550 meg by re-engineering the autogen rendering and batching system. They've introduced the most beautiful cloud shadows you've ever seen. And to see those cloud shadows moving over the terrain in real time and using your little time accelerator slider, you can actually pull, you know, from dawn to dusk and midday and back again and see the clouds just move over the landscape and the shadows move with it, is spectacular. It's spectacular. And the thing about it is, all the environments that you've known and loved and grown with Orbix since we started really creating content are going to live in that new environment. It's like basically, it's like, it's almost like going from black and white movies to Technicolor.
You know
the moment from The Wizard of Oz where it starts in black and white and they're in Kansas and then suddenly everything goes from narrow screen to widescreen Technicolor? That is literally what it's like from flying from FSX into P3D 2.2. Wow. And I say 2.2 because everybody needs to get that patch. Whoever's using P3D needs to get the 2.2 patch, because we're now specifically going to start creating content that says you must have that patch.
Right.
And the reason that it's that the lighting system's now working, doing what we want to do, the way the shadows work, it's just lovely. The cloud shadows, the lighting system, the HDR, the efficiency in AutoGen, the smoothness of frame rates, no more out of memory errors. You know, for us, we really do want everybody to move to that platform, but we're realists, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is going to, you know, the migration to P3D, by the time everybody moved across, P3D version 3 will be out with, you know, goodness knows what, you know, DX12 support, you know, support for all this new rendering stuff, you know, anything is possible. So it's a great platform. And I've been to Orlando and I've met Wes Bard and the team and seen what they're doing there. And Wes and I email each other on a regular basis. And a lot of what we asked them to add to version 2 they've put in, specifically in response to a lot of content and white papers that we gave them some time ago. Mm-hmm. So they like Orbix. They're very close to Orbix, and it's a mutual relationship. We have a really healthy, close relationship to the studio and the development team, and that is yet another reason for us to have a lot of comfort and feel enthusiastic about the platform. So it's just a beautiful environment. And I think once people start to see videos, see it moving in motion, see how our stuff looks, there's going to be a rush for it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a rush on that sim, because there are no more reasons to, you know, sit on the forums and have a bitch and moan about this is not working, that's not working, or to run like a dog, because all those things have been removed. So I knew it would get there, mm-hmm. but they've had their own gestation and teething problems, just like every other team has. You know, no one does a new release in a bug-free situation for anything. So all credit to them. They've worked very hard mm-hmm. since October and addressed most of the things we talked to them about. So,
and that's a breath of fresh air too, to have that sort of a close relationship to the company that actually controls the code of the simulator. So much different than what developers have dealt with in the past. And that alone is encouraging, just that relationship, let alone where it is now, you know, the fact that it's actively being developed upon and by sharp people that are willing to have those conversations and willing to improve. I think that's a recipe for success.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, you know, it's encouraging that the guys that are on the Orbix team can actually email, you know, the head of their development team at Lockheed Martin or post on their testing forums and get instant feedback and talk to the developers themselves. That was a situation we rarely had with Microsoft. It was a bit more of an ivory tower, a closed wall environment over there.
Definitely.
Even though I did have a relationship with some of the execs at Aces, but It was never the same sort of refreshing openness that we've got with Lockheed. And that's because they were part of a very, very large corporate machine that sort of changed their focus. And which is not to say that the Prepare3D team aren't part of a massive multinational aerospace company. They are.
Yeah. Yes.
But they're all pretty enthusiastic, and they seem to have a mandate and a budget. And they're the two things that count, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the refreshing thing about it is, you know, the biggest customer for Prepare3D, and you and your listeners are going to be very surprised to hear this, the biggest customer for Prepare3D is not the hobby market, not the training market, not the academic market. It's Lockheed Martin itself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Most of the work that is done in Prepare3D is because they have projects that they couldn't talk to us about because they'd have to shoot us, sort of those sorts of projects that are all paid for by internal customers who then on sell that to defense and commercial and other clients for bespoke projects. The mere fact that Wes and his guys are embracing the consumer hobby academic market is a bonus. It's a complete mm-hmm. bonus. And we're embracing that, you know. So for the time being, we're going to make hay while the sun shines, because, you know, here's a platform that is just looking magnificent, runs well, and finally the stuff that I've been dreaming about and is on our mission statement can be realized in the sim, you know?
Mm, great. So that's the future, huh? Prepared?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
Anything else on the horizon for you guys? You know, it sounds like everything's shifting toward prepared. Is there anything else you guys have? You know, you talked about Norway a little bit. Obviously, you're going to be working on more regions as you go along, improving global. Is there anything else you can kind of tease us with that we haven't yet heard?
Our product strategy is matured to a large extent. With what we offer now is that we offer global family. We offer the dedicated regions, and we offer high-definition airports. And then on top of that, we release the odd occasional aircraft once a year or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's our product family. What we don't want to do is start even further development and further diversification, because as a company, we've now refined our craft. Mm-hmm. And We're getting very, very good at producing consistently high quality, immersive airports that, you know, they just, every time we release something, I've never seen a negative review about anything that we've produced. So people love it. The press loves it. Why would we do anything now to jeopardize the faith our customers have? Their expectation is that, I know when Orbix announces stuff and give us a roadmap, we know that consistently everything that is there in that store for me to buy is not going to disappoint me. You know, I can expect the quality that I've always gotten used to. We're going to see incremental little innovations here and there, but there's nothing groundbreaking because, and I'll tell you what, it's because the vision that I stated nearly 8 years ago has been realized now, particularly with Prepared 2.2. And we can now execute and continue to execute well to create the environments that we wanted to experience ourselves those years ago. If there's any innovation that we want to go from here, it would be around creating an experience inside an airport. So if I want to allude to something that's been going around in my mind, and I'll tease you with it, if you can imagine getting out of the aircraft, having a full-on conversation with an animated person and having a branch conversation that allows you to take the experience from the cockpit into the FBO or the cafe, or talk to a mechanic while he's cleaning a cylinder head or something like that. And that is something I want to achieve. And there's technologies out there that we're going to explore about how to move to that level. Because my demographic that I believe follow Orbix passionately are people who are explorers, who love the atmosphere of the airport, of landing and walking around and soaking it in. So what if we can take that to the next level? So you land in the sim, you get out of the aircraft, and then you experience a whole different thing, a little microcosm of, you know, there could even be the opportunity for, you know, a storyline-based experience to kick in once you land at AUKUS, for example, you know? Or a mission that you do, which is, you know, help the fisherman find his lost boat, or have conversations with villagers to say, have you heard about the boat that went missing? You know, they're out there with a float plane cub trying to see if the tide's taken out. These sorts of experiences. I mean, I can tell you now, there's going to be customers say, we want that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll lose myself in this little storyline, like, you know, and just have this experience. And then say, this is so cool. And then invite my friend around and we do it again, you know, and experience that mission. So that's what's going around inside my head. I'm not saying we're actually going to deliver that. I'm saying that's, I'm trying to think about taking that immersion to the next level. So you can probably gather, I'm not the sort of guy that gets a big buzz out of programming an FMC and sitting for 16 hours doing a trans-Pacific, you know, thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not being disrespectful to those people, because we, with FTX Global, have tried to cater for that type of flight simulation enthusiast. But what I'm about primarily, and what a lot of my team are about, is that feeling of being there. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost having the wind going through your hair when you land and just soaking in the environment. So,
and you guys definitely do that time and time again.
That's what it's about fun. It's about fun. And, you know, and I'm a huge fan of cinema. I go to the movies at least once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm inspired by beautiful environments and great photography and you know, and that magic hour that you have in some movies where the cinematographer and the director work hand in hand and just create those special moments. And it's those little special moments in the sim that people come on our forums and rave about and said, I was doing this and then suddenly the sun was going over the hills and da da da. And we want it to be so that people say, oh, I upgraded to 2.2 and I installed Squamish. And by the way, Squamish, you're going to love Squamish. I mean, it's close to where you live. It's been my dream airport that I wanted to design myself for a better part of a decade, and Gordon Madison has done an amazing job. So, you know, I'm expecting customers to say, oh, I just landed at Squamish and the cloud shadows were playing over the water and I could see the reeds and birds flying, and it's just one of those moments, you know. And that's what we want to produce for people. So we want them to have 15, 20 minutes, half an hour of escapism, because most people will never, ever get to go to Squamish in real life, but we want to give it to them as close as possible, you know.
And, you know, that's one of the great things about what we were talking about, because it's I find that far too often flight simulation in the forums, especially, it's all about frame rates. It's all about getting 5 more frame rates out of tweaking. But, you know, the realism is in the details, and it's in those little things that get you into an immersive, almost subconscious state where you don't realize to a certain extent that it's not real, you know? So what I really like about what you've said for the last 15 minutes here, and kind of what I gather from it, is that this is art for you, and this is what your company does. You guys want to create art, and that's what you do through your sceneries, and that's what we get as an experience as well, and we get those magical moments, as you said.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the developers on the team are artists. Mm-hmm. You know, Jared Marshall is an artist.
Full-blown, yeah, no doubt.
You know, the stuff he does, just I'm in awe of, you know. And the thing about Jerry, I'm in awe of the speed at which he creates these expansive airports and whole towns, and he throws in a hospital just for good measure, you know. I mean, the guy is a wizard. And then you've got new guys on the team like Gordon Madison, who is actually an artist, right? He understands what art is. He understands the composition of a photo. He understands the things that people want to see when they land at the airport. But he also understands that people want to go beyond the airport and walk into the town and walk through the grounds of the university, or go down to the docks and see the fishermen unloading their stuff. I can see a Squamish version 3 in 5 years from now, where you can literally walk to the docks and have a conversation with the loggers, or have a conversation with the fishermen, and hear the clacking of the lines on the masts of the boats and the crowing of seagulls, and you go, heck, I've just been to Squamish, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's like, I thought I was a flight simulator enthusiast, but what I'm discovering is I'm an explorer. Yeah. And I can't wait to get another destination that immerses me like what Gordon has shared with me, you know, as being an artist. So, and we've seen a lot of that stuff in first-person shooters, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Call of Duties and the Battlefields and the engines and the way that they immerse you is nothing short of gobsmackingly mind-blowing.
Yeah.
The downside of those titles are it's all about killing people.
Mm, yeah.
I'm not some greedy pacifist, but really, why spend so much time on a beautiful environment where you're just splattering blood all over the place? Why not use that sort of energy to let people explore the world in a much more peaceful manner that doesn't involve blowing things up, you know? So that's what I'm about, you know, just creating an escape for people and taking their flight simulation hobby sort of beyond what they're used to, you know, just out of the cockpit and explore things a bit more. So if we're heading in any one direction, it's that, you know.
Gotcha.
we're certainly not going to be launching more complex multi-layer product lines and doing stuff or working with a brand new platform or launching our own simulator or any of that. Mm-hmm. We're not moving in that direction at all.
Yeah, what you're doing seems like it's working. So why fix something that's not broken, right?
That's what I say.
So any final thoughts? We've kind of run up against our hour quickly here. Any final thoughts for the listeners?
Anybody who hasn't experienced what Orbix is about, you can go to orbixsystems.com or fullterrain.com. They both resolve to the same page. And you click on the Orbix logo and there's a little blurb. It's a little story of how we started. And there's actually a photo of the entire team. Now, if you click on the Orbix logo, you come up with an image of all the guys. And so you can actually see the faces behind, who produced this content and read about why we're different. So anybody who is listening to your stuff because they're obviously following your training tutorial type of focus that what you do, mm-hmm. And they haven't really experienced Orbix, just go to our website and download stuff for free. We've got a big chunk of the Pacific Northwest, which is free. It includes Bowman Airport, KMHQM, which is an amazing airport. It's got people walking around, it's got sounds, it's got animation. You don't have to pay a cent. Just download it, install it, see for yourself. And then we've got all of Iceland, which you can download as a demo.
Again, yeah, we encourage people to get that. And we had a lot of positive feedback on that. A lot of people like that.
Yeah, so there's no pressure from us to buy something to see what it's like. You can download literally gigabytes of content, absolutely no cost to you, and give it a go. Now, it may not appeal to you. It may appeal to you, but we hope that we can win some new customers who just check us out. We promise that we'll continue to create the stuff of the quality that you're used to. We'll continue to innovate as much as we can. And certainly Prepare 3D 2.2 has got a bunch of really cool stuff coming up that will allow us just to be more artistic and to take advantage of that environment. So good times, Chris, good times indeed.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about what you guys are going to come up with, especially with Prepared here. It sounds like you have a lot of great things in the near future. So, John, thank you so much for joining us today. I know that many, many of our listeners, because a lot of our listeners are Angle of Attack customers and we fly in your scenery all the time. That's just what we do. I know a lot of them are going to be so excited to hear from you and hear your side of where you see simulation going and also learn a little bit more about Orbix. So again, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks, Chris. It's been an absolute pleasure and thank you for inviting me. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. See ya.
All the best. Bye-bye.
How about that fascinating conversation with John? It's really interesting to get his take on the future of simulation and where it's going. I also like how immersed John is in this realism in the simulator and how much he wants to recreate this world and really the art that comes from that. What these guys do is truly art. And if you haven't seen what they do already, I invite you to check that out. He mentioned it a couple times, but I'll mention it again here. Go to fullterrain.com. Really simple URL. You'll see there right away that what these guys do and the way their scenery looks is absolutely amazing. One of the cool things, and also something that John mentioned, is you can try this scenery. They're not going to beg you for a customer. You can go, you can download a couple of their free packages, install it yourself, and truly experience the difference. There is nothing more convincing than that. So I invite you to do that, again, over at fullterrain.com. And one thing that I noticed as I was talking to John, I was just browsing through his website there. I was scrolling from top to bottom and realized that he has one screenshot of all of these different areas that they've done, all these different airports. And I realized that, man, each one of these areas is just absolutely amazing and could be a simulator all on its own. You know, we get some of these first-person shooters, if you're a gamer out there, we get some of these first-person shooters, or really any video game for that matter, where we have a very limited arena in which the gameplay happens. And largely what Orbix does is they create a lot of these arenas. You know, they create these very specific areas like Jackson Hole and like Squamish and... the list goes on and on. Redding, California, that's a new one that they have. It just goes on and on. They have all these very immersive arena airports, if you will. But it goes outside that. The world is so immersive if you have Orbix around you, and especially now with what we talked about with Global. Really, really great. If you haven't checked them out, check them out now. And again, huge, huge thanks to you, John, for joining us on this episode of Aviator Cast. I know that our listeners are very appreciative of your insight into the simulator industry and very, very grateful for all the work that you've done and how amazing your scenery is and how that has changed our experience and the way that we enjoy our simulators. So it truly does matter. And thank you on behalf of the Aviator Cast listeners. Say that you want to be a part of the Aviator Cast community or leave a comment. You can simply go to aviatorcast.com to join in or write me directly at me@aviatorcast.com. Again, that's to join the community or give me some direct feedback. Also, if you don't want to miss an episode of Aviator Cast, no worries. You can subscribe through email at aviatorcast.com, or you can subscribe through iTunes, which is one of our most popular venues. Also, there's services like Stitcher, YouTube, or SoundCloud. I've been publishing the episodes to a lot of different areas so we can outreach this program to as many people as possible, because I really think we're on to something special here. So any of those places, if you don't want to miss an episode of Aviator Cast, reach out on those and make sure that you are getting it every single week, Saturday morning at 000 Zulu. So we publish every Saturday at that time and hope that you enjoy that on the time you have off on your weekend. So we'd also love to get an honest review from you on iTunes. If you can do that, this helps others learn about Aviator Cast so they can enjoy it as well. Otherwise, they just may not learn about it. And if you feel like that would be a shame, please go and review Aviator Cast. If you'd like to check out our training products, which is something admittedly we don't talk about a lot on this show because we think this show kind of stands on our own, but we do have training products, head to flyaomedia.com. Start with the basics for free with Aviator 90. Learn instrument flying and more with Aviator Pro, or even fly many of the world's most popular jets virtually with our training products for the 737, 747, 777, and MD-11. Again, at flyaomedia.com. Many thanks also go out to the Angle of Attack crew for all their hard work to make these episodes possible so you and I can have a blast talking to people like John and all that they do outside of Aviator Cast to make sure that this tiny business keeps running. So thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Aviator Cast. We are truly grateful to have you here, part of our community, and so engaged in this wonderful passion for flying things. Until next time, throttle on! 5-8
is ready. 5-8 in the short line, turn left, heading 235, maintain 2000, runway 25 right, clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, 25 right, United 580.